And one more thing.
Exactly.
We're good. Okay, we're learning Ma'avidat Bat Melech. And we're at the point where the father sends the daughter, which we're explaining is a Muna, the Nefesh, sends her to the no good. And we think, oh no, like this is horrible, like there's no, we lost a Muna, this is the Yerida of every person, that's it, we're not going to get back, throw in the towel, right? A guy, we'll just give a dugma, an example of this in our lives. A guy, he goes on the wrong internet site, and he's Michshol, he's Pogima Bris. A person misses three shachas in a row, and mincha, and marvim. It was three minyanim in a row. He just came back, you know, from Shana Bet and everything like that. That's it. Give up. Give up. It's lost. Finish. That wasn't me. That's it. Finish. Done. I can't do it. You know, and you think like, okay, this is breaking. No, what happens when we break? What happens when we break? What does it say? Now's the time of bikush. Now's not the time to break. Now's the time to say, Givaldik, I'm not living just on my moon of yesterday. This is a chance to be mechadish myself. Now, we should always mechadish ourselves without the nefila. But sometimes the nefila comes in order. Now there's a perfect time to mevakish on of the honor. Don't take your nefila as like, oh, you see, I'm bad. Hashem really doesn't want me. No, Hashem wants you to be mevakish on of the honor. This is the opportunity. You have to see this as this great opportunity. And then you have to have Rachmanus on your neshama. Okay? So this is where we're at the point of either you can make a choice. You can break or you can search. And this is what who comes up now. Omar Hasheni Lamalchus. Everybody has it? It's in the first page from last week, not from the page I just gave out. You have to look from last week's page. Okay, if you don't have it, just listen. Omar Hasheni Lamalchus, the second in command to the king. Who's the second in the command to the king? Well, let me just read what he does and then he'll tell me who he is. Omar Hasheni Lamalchus, Mach Masharosh HaMelech Mitztar Mod. He saw that the melech is so sad that the emuna is lost. And what does he do? Ubikesh, and he went out. Shiyitnu lo mishar, okay, Ubikesh, he asked for Shiyitnu lo misharis v'sus umos. He wants an assistant, a horse and money, alotos, for all the money that he's going to spend. V'holach levakshan, he went to search for the lost princess. Who is this person in the whole mashal of this? In the whole understanding of who is this person? Who is the Sheni Lamelech going to search? They lost their emuna. The Melech threw the emuna out. Who is this person? Who? Yetzer Tov. Well, the full person. You. That's the person who says, whoa, I lost my nefesh. I lost my emuna. Where am I? What did I do? How did I get to this place? How did I look up there? How did I spend the whole night last night? And I lost the war, and I was poking, and I looked at the wrong things, and I let the bad things. How is it possible that a week went by and I didn't go to one minyan yet? Who am I? What? That's us, the Sheni Lamalchus, the second to the king. The king, we're Ben Shalmelech, right? We're Nikra Banim. Whether we're following Hashem or not following Hashem, we're Nikra Banim, we're the second to the king. Now's the time, that's us, and we it's time to search. Right? And he takes with him a horse. Horse is his body. You have to do tshuva with the body. You can't leave your body aside and just say, okay, he takes his horse. We have a powerful, powerful weapon, and that's our goof. Our goof is strong, our goof is resilient, and he takes his goof, and he takes an assistant. Who's his assistant? I actually don't know. You know who the assistant is? And he takes money. Well, you need physicality to live. You can't be a poor... Rav Rosenfeld says, based on this, you can't create anything without money. Don't need money. Not Narishkeit. You want to build a shul, you want to build a yeshiva, you need money. Now, it doesn't take the money, and it doesn't take millions of dollars. It just takes the money Allah owes on what he has to spend for. A person has to have proper money. A person, again, the person, this, these things, these two, yeah.
The partner could be like his wife or something like that.
His wife. Rabbi Nachman wasn't so into wives and everything, but yeah, maybe. It could be like a friend, it could be. What's interesting to point out, Rabbi Nachman supposedly had a very good relationship with his wife. He had two wives. His first wife passed away. He doesn't talk about so much family. He viewed family as like some, like, he called his daughters Esmach, because it was Adol, Sarah, Miriam, and Chana. That's what he called his daughters. Esmach. They were like a remez, and each one of his talents was a different sphere. He wasn't like living in Olam Hazeh, like everyone's. But yet he came down to, yet I guarantee you, the more Bresel Chassidus I learned, and that if you learn, the more it grounds me also. It's a crazy, crazy thing. On one hand, it's like brings you up to like the world, like that there is no world. On the other hand, you get more into the world and more interested in the world. It's an unbelievable thing. I can't explain it. But in any event, these three things that when you do tshuva, you have to do a full tshuva. If you look at Rav Weinberger's Sefer on Oros HaTshuva from the Rav Kook talks about this. You need you can't do tshuva without the guf being part of it, without a physical tshuva, without a mental tshuva, without a maybe it's a therapist, maybe that's the helper could be everything along. It could be a therapist, it could be a wife, it could be a friend, it could be use the tools in the world that you have. You're not alone in this, basically. You're not alone. That whatever these three people are, you're not alone. And at that point of breaking, take what you might, that's maybe what the pasuk means. Kchu imachem devarim ve Shuva Hashem. That's a dvarim. The sus, the take what you need. Do a full tshuva. Sometimes I'm gonna. You guys are shana bet. So I'm gonna talk about shana bet. Don't take this personally or anything. No one has to think like, oh, maybe he's talking about me. I'm not talking about. I don't have anybody in mind. But sometimes you see shana bet guys in my. From when I was in shana bet to when I was Gris Kol watching some shana bet, their tshuva is so narrow. They're like, tshuva is like so narrow. They don't bring the whole world into their tshuva because they have to be this way and they have to, if I'm not like this, I'm not a successful Shana Bet guy. And the tshuva is like literally like I don't want to say bad against Dafa Gemara is the sweetest thing in the world, but like the tshuva is only in like the hours I learned as opposed to midos, as opposed to parents, as opposed to how I look at the world, and the tefillah, negunim, Shabbos, we have so much in the world. Chui machem dvarim, take the sus with you. Don't forget about the sus. Don't forget about the simchas achayim. Sometimes it's so sad. The saddest thing for me is to see a guy who's growing and growing and growing and learning, and he's getting sadder and sadder and sadder. You see this a lot. Like the more they learn, the sadder they get. Like what happened? This guy, Shanaalf guy, my Rebbe Rav Yoel Rakovsky, always says that Shanaalf guys, they're Ruchni guys, and Shanabek guys, all of a sudden, they have no Ruchnis to them. Like they're learning so much and they're sad. I'm not saying learning equals sadness. Look, because they are showing me Sam Chelev. But what's happening? The tshuva is so small that it's not a full symphony of Hashem's tshuva in this world. You have to take your sus, you have to take your friend, you have to take your parents. This is, again, there's a draw, everything's a drush here, obviously. Look at for my sus. Rabbi Nachman, again, he meant this on every level. I just want to touch on one amazing point. I have this sefer that I just got today called Remez Lenachal. It was written by this guy, David Friedman. He's like 2 years older from me. I'm not sure where he lives. Not that David Friedman Shana Bet. I think he's holding with this, but I'm totally not holding with this. He says an unbelievable thing that a chodesh hazeh lachem, Rabbi Nachman was born on Aleph Nisan. It's your birthday too. Okay, beautiful. The year 5532. Aleph Nisan Tav Kuf Lamed Bet. Right, which is 703, which is the Gematria of Nachman Bar Simcha. Simcha was his father's name. And then that means his bris was on Chet Nisan Tav Kuf Lamed Bet. And then that Shabbos we read, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim Rishon Hu Lachem Lechodshei Hashana. And what was the main saying of Rabbi Nachman? Ein Shum Yesh Ba'olam Klal. Ein Ches and Tinyana. Ein Shum Yesh Ba'olam. Don't never give up. That's one of the main teachers of Rabbi Nachman. And that was the week that they're, during the week of his bris, they were reading HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Listen to this. HaChodesh Heichet Dal Shin is the same gematria of Yeyush. Right? But it says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The Chodesh, HaChodesh, meaning Yeyush, is for you. It's for you. I mean, Yeyush is a time, it's a gift for you. When you're in that moment of like, oh, Lachem, Rabbi Nachman teaches, and this is the part she was born on. Lachem, it's for you. It's for you. Mevakish ana va'ana. Now start searching. This is a lesson for you. Don't give up hope. Now's the time you can turn Yeyesh into Achodesh. Now you can start again. And Hazeh, he says the Gematria is Tov. Right? Which could now could be read as Tov Lachem. Hachodesh Hazeh, Tov Lachem. If you turn Yeyesh into Hachodesh, meaning Hachadash, renewal, Hazeh, Gematria, Tov Lachem. It's good for you. It's good for you. Now don't look around. Don't lechatchila have a fallen. But we fall enough that we don't need. We have so many more Muslim, and it's unbelievable. Okay, so what happens next? So he goes on the search. Now Rabbi Nachman's going to teach us through this. How does one search when he falls? Ah, what a gift. In his own. And then remember, there's a Torah before the Torah is given. How does one search when he falls? Great question. You're in despair. You're kind of losing hope on yourself. You're kind of like saying, like, maybe that wasn't really me. How many people go through this? I think 99.99999%, and I don't know who's in that 0.01%, where they just want to give up on themselves. And by the way, yeish can happen not even if you do something wrong. Certain mornings, certain mornings you wake up and you just don't feel anything. It's sometimes not even our choice to. It's not like, oh, you do a sin, therefore you feel far from Hashem. You can naturally feel far from Hashem. We're not robots. We're not the Mona Lisa where they paint the picture and stays for hundreds and hundreds of years. We're a painting that's getting. There was once a cleaner in the yeshiva, Shem Shem, bless his soul. No, he's alive. He's still alive. I don't know where he is. His name is Eliyahu, and the guys always mess things up and everything. I said, isn't it frustrating for you? You always have to clean up. He goes, I'm not painting the Mona Lisa here. I clean up, and I know they're going to mess it. We are an unguarded picture. We are all the elements of life is shooting at us. It's not a pretty thing. It's not a pretty thing. We're not like. I did tshuva and that's it, and put it in a case and put it in a weathered box. No, we're constantly being shot at every point in life. Who knows what phone call we're going to get next that's gonna ruin our muna. You know, I shouldn't say ruin our muna, to test our muna. Okay, so what happens? Vaya mevaksha ma'od, and he was looking very much, mevaksha ma'od, zman meruba ma'od. A very long time. I keep using the word ma'od, which is the same osios as Adam. Adam, meaning, we lost it. Now we have to work hard. Ma'od. Ad shemata, until he found her. He found her. End of story. Now it says here, Atam misaper ech biksha ad shemata. Now Rabbi Nachman says, and now I'll tell you how I found her. Is that how you write a story? Like, come on, you just gave it away. You hear the movie, you're watching a movie. It says, in the end, he killed her. And now I'll tell you, in the end, I'll show you how he... All right, fine. In the end, they get back together again. And now I'll show you how they got back together again. Like, oh, that's a hard... If you're a movie writer, there's like rule number one. You don't tell the end of the story beforehand. He says, and he finds her. And now I'll tell you how he found her. Can anybody tell me why Rabbi Nachman gives away the whole plot of this story before he tells the story? Yeah, Jacob?
It sounds like a relationship with Hashem. I feel like it's inevitable that eventually, one day, somewhere or another, when you're, the moment that will invite you in the back of the Hashem.
Okay.
Okay. It's gonna happen. It's
inevitable. Gonna happen. Okay, I want to sharpen that a little bit, at least in my mind, but good. You want to say something?
Another question.
Okay, so let's get this point. I think I just want to talk about what Jacob said. The fact that a person's searching, there's no end result. When you're searching for something, it's like, do I find a Muna? Oh, I found a Muna! And what next? You know what next is? A Muna falls again, you go searching for again. And it's a constant story. The fact that he's Mevakesh Ma'od, Zman Meruba, he gives all of his best and he gives a Zman Meruba. The fact that he does that, he found her. The rest of the story is just how he found her. Right? It's like when Miriam by the Nile, she left Moshe in the Teva. And she looked, and the Mefarshim asked, wait one second, Miriam, where's your bitachon? You don't think that Moshe is going to survive? And I don't know who says this, but the answer is, no, she did. She knew that Moshe was going to be alive, but she wanted to know how Moshe would be alive. What would happen? What would be the Yeshua of Hashem? She knew the Yeshua of Hashem. So what Rav Nachman says, if you're really searching ma'od, mevakesh ma'od, your etzem searching is finding. The etzem searching, you already found it. Now I'm just going to tell you how he found it. But that's it. Yagati umatzati. What's the next words? Yagati umatzati. Nobody's a Chabadsker here. Yagati umatzati. Tamin. If you work hard and you find it, you believe that person. As opposed to if a person says matzati v'lo yagati, al tamin. Don't believe that person. Because it's impossible to find something without trying. And the opposite is what? The opposite is yagati v'lo matzati. Don't believe that person. It's impossible. If you tried hard, it's impossible lo matzati. Yagati matzati. He tried hard. His mavakish ma'od zman meruba ma'od. He tried very hard to find her for many times. He found her. He found her. Again, there's no end result here. The etzim search is finding. Now we're going to get how we found it. Okay, here we go. So v'ahaya holech ana v'ana. Oh, we see that lashon again, ana v'ana. Now he gave this in Yiddish, so I don't want to darsh too much on the Hebrew, but it's the same thing in Yiddish. Holech ana v'ana, meaning ana Hashem, ana Hashem. Oh no, please, oh no, please. See, there's a lot of tefillah in this. V'alech ana v'ana, zman rav, a long time. Ubi midbarios, he went to the deserts. Ubi sodos, ubi yarim, he went to the fields. He went to the forests. Vayimavakshas man rav mod, and he went to look for a long, long time. Vayaholich b'midbar v'rash shvil echad min hatzad. He went to the desert and he found a shvil min hatzad. What does a shvil min hatzad mean? A path on the side, like kind of like a side path. Vayimiyashev atzmo. Pay attention to those words. Vaya miyashev atzmo. What is vaya miyashev atzmo? He had a what? Not that he sat by himself. He like yishev adas. He did his bodedus here. He did a tefillah. Miyashev atzmo is when you talk to yourself and you talk to Hashem. Hashem, what should I do? I'm searching. Help me. That's a miyashev daito atzmo. I spent so much time doing the regular search in the desert, and I can't find her. I'm going to go in the shvil min hatzad. Maybe I'll come to a yishuv, and I'm going to go to the shvil min hatzad. Okay, let's stop here to understand what is the shvil min hatzad. What does the shvil min hatzad represent? Yes.
Maybe like not doing the average, and the
what
you know, the classical approach.
Right, exactly. Yes. His bodedus is right. Very good. Yeah. Shvil min hatzad. Actually, Rav Arush says his bodedus, and Rav Arush Moshe Doron says what you say. Shvil min hatzad. He says, you know what? I've been doing like the regular search. It's time for me to go to shvil min hatzad. It's trying the unconventional way. I have to go in my way. The way I believe, the way that I want to do it, right? And the Hashmatos, and kind of like introduction to the second part of Lukute Maran, Rabbi Nachman has a famous thing of a piece called Echad Haya Avram, that Avram went in his own way. He didn't look at the world, oh, what should I do, what should I do? In fact, the first Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah talks about serving Hashem in your own way. Don't worry about this person, that person. The Ramah talks about, don't worry about this person. What is this person going to say? What is that person going to say? No, he went to Shvil Min Hatzad. By the way, Shvil Min Hatzad is Osios, Rosh Tevos, Moshe. Because Moshe Rabbeinu also, he was in the house of power, but he went in his own way. I'm going to have Rachmanos on the Jewish people. That's a Shvil Min Hatzad. And that's where we start showing answer. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. What's strange about that? Elokei, Elokei, Elokei. What's strange about that? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Well, I want to say, Elokim, Shalav, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Because each one had their own connection to Hashem. Each one had their own shvil min hatzad to Hashem. And that's also the inyan of his bodedus. Going in a way, he tried to feel, and he tried this, and he tried to go to Tzaddikim for Yeshua, and then he's going to do now, he's supposed to do this, he's going to be Miyashev as Das. So he goes to the Shvil Min Hatzad. Sometimes everybody has to find their Shvil Min Hatzad here. Everybody has to find their path that may not be the path that was... Now, it's not saying that there's a difference. Professor Schneider talks about this a lot. He actually quotes from Soloveitchik, that there's two ideas, there's Chiddush and Shinui. Shinui means change, changing the way it's done. Shinui is not a good thing. But chidush is being mechadish, refreshing a way. That's a good thing. If the mechadish, it's not about a shinui of like now davening in a mishunadik away. It's about chidush. Chidush is finding a chidush to serve Hashem, not changing your old paths and what your parents did, right? We mix up between shinui and chidush. Like a shul wants to be progressive, the first thing that they do, they think of shinui, not chidush. Shinui is what can we change to make people happy? Instead of what could we mechadish? We have to be mechadish something. We have to be. I believe in the word progressive very, very much, but in the chidush side of it, not the shinui side of it. Okay, so he has to be. He has a chidush. Echorei Avram. He goes in his own way. He goes in the way of Moshe Rabbeinu. He goes in the way of Avos Shvil Menatzad. Oh, and what happens? Achar Kach Ra Miftzar. He sees what's a miftzar. Say a castle. He found the castle. And there are many, many officers standing around. It was a very organized, like the thing. Imagine in England, the Queen's castle. But imagine with the guards and everything's mesudah, and he sees, wow, like a perfect picture in front of him. And he was afraid of the soldiers, that they won't let him go in. Oh, there we see it again, right? Every time he's at like a crossroads, he would speak to himself, he would do his bodidus. Every time you're in a crossroads in life, it shouldn't only be about decisions and speak to this person, that person, this person, this person, and you speak to that rabbi, and this person, and this, and your parents, and your friends, and this, and this, and this. Miyashiv atzmo. Go by yourself and have a yishav adas with yourself. Because he was in a crossroads. He's like, what should I do? If I go in there, they may kill me. But on the other hand, I know that this is the castle. This could very well be the castle with the lost princess is at. Like, he finally finds something. But should I take that risk? I will go and I will try.
Is that like the Seichel? Like, what are those guards?
That's interesting. What are those guards?
Are the Seichel like keeping a person from entering you? Because, and they look all uniform. They look like... My reason, my logic is not...
Wow. Yeah, I didn't think about that, but yeah, that's very good. Come on, you're not going to get in there, right? You're not going to get in there. It's a seichel, it's a dimyonos. We always create fears, right? Like Ramata Frank told it. Well, what does it say? It doesn't say, kolulam god keshet tzarmur v'ikar lolefachet. That's not the words. What do you mean, ikar lolefachet? What, if there's a wild dog chasing me, I shouldn't be afraid? That's not a healthy reaction. What are the words, really? Loli spoche, very good. What's the difference between loli fached and loli spoche?
Sometimes to make yourself.
Right. Don't make them yonos. Don't create a world that's not there. And that's the menios that each one of us in our lives, we have certain things that we don't want to enter, because what happens if I fail? What happens if not? What happens, right? So we had the Moshe Daniel Green with the Seder Negunim. Can you imagine opening up a shul in Yerushalayim in Ramat Eshkol? What happens if everyone laughs at me? What happens if everybody... But then you can't get anywhere. That's what the Likutei Maharan brings in Chelek Bet and Mem Vav. He brings a parable from the Baal Shem Tov, his great-grandfather, about that there was a son of a king who he knew from his king that there was going to be a bunch of walls to get to an otzer called Yirat Shemayim. To get to the Yirat Shemayim, there's a bunch of walls. And you have to get through the walls. But the father told the son a secret. And it's just a chizas einayim. What's a chizas einayim? It's an imagery. It was like a trick. Illusion. Right? What?
Illusion.
An illusion. Right. It was a really illusion. There's not really walls there. We just made it in a way that it looks like walls. So the first person goes and like he starts knocking down the walls and this and that. And he's like, forget it. I can't go. The second guy also, I can't make your way through. And the third guy just walks right through the walls. Like, what do you think? Because they weren't really there. They're in your mind that they were there, and therefore you couldn't get it through. And then in Likutei Maharan Kuf Ted Vav also talks about that any time you want to do anything good in life, he talks about going to the tzaddik. Any time you want to go to the tzaddik, any time you make a achlata, lav dafka going to a tzaddik, you make a decision in your life that you want to do something, right away there's going to be menias. What's menias? Things that try to stop you. right? Like if you go to ever go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah, everyone's the plane is late. This happens. Everybody runs around saying which word? Minis. They're trying to stop us. Rabbi Nachman says there in Kuf Ted Vav. He says this is in Mem Vav in Tinyana Mem Vav. He says the greatest Miniya is where? In our minds, the seichel, those are the chayalot, those are the soldiers. In my mind, I can't get there, but really, they're not there. Really, there's no world. Really, there's nothing to fear. You just made up all of these things. If you were a son of the king, you would know that they're all illusions. We make so many maneus, and this is another sipur maaseh. I don't know if we're going to get to it. Called the rabbi and his one son. How his one son really wants to go to a tzaddik, and his father's like, come on, God. We'll get to it, but if you read that story, the main mania is in the mind. Okay, so what he finds his palace, he decides he's going to go. He does his vodadus, he decides, I am going to go in. I'm connected to my values. These things are not going to stop me. These things are illusions. They can't stop me. I am on the quest of finding the lost princess. The Shira Sus, he leaves the Sus. It sounds a little bit like Avram leaving the donkey.
But like, if we said that the Sus was a guff, then like...
Right. That's a good question. Good question. I don't know. Think about it. Speak to people. Speak to Professor Schneider. And see what you come up with. It's a good question. And everyone left him alone. Long. And he's like, hello. Hello. You ever go to a place like where it's like heavily guarded, and you're just like walking through and like, okay, right? But this is what, when you have strong emunah and you're not afraid of anything around you, this is what happens to your life. You do things that are like, you couldn't even imagine. When you break barriers, when you have real emunah in yourself and emunah in Hashem, and you go in, with Yishuv Adas, you can break all barriers. Without anybody stopping him. Why? Because everything that's stopping us in our life is in our minds. But if you get that out of your mind, if you're going with the Muna, you're unstoppable. And he came into like one big hall, and he saw the king sitting with his crown. And they're playing music. By Hashem, Noah the Yafimor, it was beautiful there. Wow. The king didn't ask him, who are you? What are you going there? Right? If the bodyguard, what happens if you go into a bodyguard in England? What do they say? Stand back! Stand back! You are in the queen's palace! Stand back! He didn't get that. He's just like walking around him. He's like, No one said a word to him. It's like if you get in the Knesset, like no one said a word to you. Like you're on the floor of the Knesset, you're right next to Bibi Netanyahu, like no one says a word to you. La'avdil, this is a low tov. L'rosh shama adonim achon tov. He saw great food there, like kavaldik food. V'amar v'achal v'halach v'shachal b'savas. Yeah, he actually went to eat a little bit. He's probably hungry. And he went and he sat in some corner. L'rosh mana ha'sesham. He wanted to see what's going on here. V'rosh ha'melch tziv alav yamalka. And he saw the king said, bring in the queen. And he says, oh, let's see this. Who's the queen? It was like a big rush. Like, everyone's like, the queen's coming. They started playing like a great, the queen's coming. When they're bringing the malka, and they brought a kise, and they sat her next to him. V'yayisahu habat ha-melech hanal. V'hu, this is second to king, ra'av v'kirat. He recognized her. Said, oh my God, OMG. This is it. I'm in the palace of the lost princess. What did he realize? This is the palace of the no good. Remember the father said, go to the no good. Then is the no good really no good? It doesn't seem like it. It sounds like a beautiful place. So it's interesting. He doesn't buy it. As Rivera's Moshe Doron says, and I don't think it says this lashon in the Zohar. I never saw the Zohar itself as this. There's no free lunches. There's a world, there's a certain world out there that's a made up world called free lunches. Free. I don't know what the Zohar, I would love to see the lesson of the Zohar. It's called the world of the free lunch. Never believe in that world, because nothing's free in this world. And he didn't buy it for a second. This is not beautiful. There's something you pay for everything. You marry the best girl. Blah, 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 blah. Her parents have money. Blah, 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 blah. She's so pretty. She wants you to learn. She wants you. She'll support you. No free lunches, my friend. This is the world, and if you dip into the world of the free lunches, you will pay. You will get the bill. Not that you shouldn't marry a great, great, great girl, but don't think that it's a free lunch. Every comes at an expense. And he says, "This is too good to be true. This is too perfect. I don't buy this. It's like a commercial." And that's the world of commercials is the world that the Zohar is talking about, free lunches. Don't buy it. Things can come easier. Things you could get a gift. And Rabbi Nachman talks about the Otzer Matnas Chinam, which is a special thing. But he didn't buy it. So how does he, it's okay, he sees a Badnal. This is like a great part of the story, right? What's going to happen? Ooh, the Malka saw Echad. Who's Echad? The one person. Who's the one person?
Him.
Because everybody else was just, again, illusion. They're part of the world of the free lunches that didn't exist. They're part of the commercials. They're part of the Instagram. A little bit of Instagram. You know, sometimes, I hear Charlie arrives sometimes, why social media is so dangerous. Let's say you see another family on like their trip to Disney World, and you're getting all these like, Instagrams from their things, and they're posting in Facebook. We're having a great time. You're like, oh my God, what a perfect family. And now you go home, and like your family's a mess, and everything like that. And like it's so, I want to tell them that more in the ruchnius world that you see like an Instagram of a guy davening and this and that. Oh, it's so perfect by him. It's so great by him. That no, there's no world of free lunches. With the social media, like of a family on a vacation. Yeah, you didn't see the family fighting like dogs in the car. And you didn't see like the husband and wife fighting and this and that and this. You didn't see all that. You see the pictures. You know, like what happened 2 minutes before that picture? There, yeah, the daughter says, "I'm not being in this picture. I'm not going in this picture. You get this picture." And then they take pictures, and the whole world's like, "Oh, that's the world of the free lunches." There are no free lunches in the world, and the Masharis knows that. Now he sees, she sees the one real person in the room. She shochet bezavis ve'kiro so, and he, she recognized him. For amda mikisa, and she got up from her seat. You have to understand what's going on. Like, what's everybody thinking? She's the queen. They're making a big deal. She gets from her seat. The answer is that the world of the free lunches doesn't really exist. So they don't even know how to. When you leave the world of the free lunches, oh my God, what are my friends going to say if I don't go with them to this? And what are my parents going to say if I'm not going to go to the mixed beach with them? And what is this person going to say if I don't do this? The answer is they're not going to say anything. That's the world of the free lunches. Just do what you got to do, and it'll be quiet. Eventually, just with emuna, and straight away, just do it, and the whole world of the free lunches just fall away. And she touched him. What does it mean? She touched him.
Wanted to see if he was real.
Maybe. Vishaloto. Half the time when I ask, what does that mean? I have no idea what it means myself. So, Vishaloto, she asked him, "Ha tamakiyoti? Do you recognize me?" Think about the. I don't want to say. I hate saying the word mashal. But Rabbi Nachman's stories weren't mashalim. The Torah is a mashal. His sipurim were like. I don't want to say mashal, but think about the emun. What's happening now? Be'emes. Forget about the story right now. What's happening be'emes right now? He's having his bodedus with emuna, and his emuna. No, don't worry. His emuna is coming back to him, and the emuna touches him. You ever feel like emuna touch you? That's what ruchnius means, by the way. Ruchnius means, like, right now, if I don't really feel the air conditioning so much, it's a little bit better than last week. If we move that thing and put it higher, whatever it is, and I feel it, like, it touches me. That's ruchnius. You ever feel that sometimes ruchnius touches you, like, whoa, that he touched me. The emuna. Nah, just the name is touching me, that's it. Hata makiroti. Do you recognize me? Amuna says, "I was lost from you." And he says, "Yeah, I do recognize you. I know what Amuna." Okay, put it low. Make sure it's under 21 so we can break the rules. Yeah.
Like, wasn't that he lost the Emunah, though? It was the king that lost it.
Great. Excellent question. It's an excellent question. I have to address this. I'm trying to ignore the question, but it says that he didn't lose the, meaning the Sheni Malchus never lost the Emunah. The king seemed to have lost. The king sent to the Lotov, but the king makes all the decisions for us. Meaning that's Hashem saying, no, you lost your Emunah. Meaning in the end of the day, it's biyad chaf kid ruchi. Great question, and we really have to give you a much better answer, but I don't want to get stuck in something that we did last week. But great question. Let me think about it a little bit more. But I did think about that. Like, wait, you didn't, yeah. But for all intents and purposes, he lost the Emunah, and now he's having his Bodhidus, and the Emunah is touching him. The Emunah touches him. It's like when you sing like an unbelievable nigga, and like, the Emunah touches you. And he asks her. He asks her. Ha'ech bata lekan. And she answered, because don't you remember my father said, go to the no good? That's how he got here. Which goes to Ilan's question. Like, and this place is the lo tov. Ironically, this place with this food and a band and a this and everyone's giving you respect. Lo tov. Emuna doesn't fall for the free lunch. Emunah doesn't fall for that free world, for the easy world, for the world of Costco and Walmart, and where streets are bigger, when parking is normal, when you don't have to go to the wretched merkaz to get together, you know, to buy something, and then the world where everything we're like you actually can take your shopping cart and go on a flat way as opposed to like fighting with the shopping cart the whole time. You know what world I'm talking about? The world of the free lunches. Right? When I go to America, I feel like I'm in the world of the free lunches. Like, it's cheap, it's nice, there's room, there's space, it's like people are nice to you. Yes, sir, what do you want? Try to get somebody in Yesh to be nice to you. It'll be like Mashiach will come at that moment. Like, it'll be bigger niece than the Kriyas Gamsuf for like telling you, you know. And you go into these stores in America, sir, you're looking for anything, sir, you know, sir, I have everything okay, you have a good day, sir. Right? Don't fall for that. Don't fall for the free lunches. The Kana Makom is a Lo Tov. This place is Lo Tov. I know this place is Lo Tov. I'm very clear on this place is Lo Tov. If you really connect it to your values with the deepest Bodhidus, it's Lo Tov. And it's Lo Tov no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how easy it is. Baruch Hashem, I think I reach that level when I go to America. America is very good. America is very good. I don't mean Lo Tov, that America is not good. But I know that this is the land of the free lunches. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in the bigger highways. I'm not interested in this. I'm not interested in it. That's many years. Many years I got back and I always felt better. And even when I was married and even maybe I had children. I went to America, now I feel a comfort. Now I was, Baruch Hashem, I think I reached a level like no, I don't fall. I'm not saying that America's low tov, God forbid. It's a very good place. We have such a curse of America. Just saying it's a land of the free lunches. And you have to reach it when you're so connected to your values. No, this place is low tov, even though they're playing music and they're doing this and that. It's low tov. It's not the place where I belong. I'm just saying on a personal level. I'm not saying for everybody. Okay. V'siper la. The Sipela, and he told her, Shavia Mitzarim over, and he said, you know, your father is very sad about this. Hashem's sad when a child goes to the Lo Tov. Hashem is sad. Your father is very sad that you're in the Lo Tov. And he's looking for you for many years. Vashalota, and he asked her, Eich ani yechol lotzi otach. Uh oh. What did he do wrong? Eich ani yechol lotzi otach. What did he do wrong? So what does he answer? Va'amra lo she'ef shalachaloti oti. You can't take me out. Kim shekishtia bochelo chamakom v'tia yosef shamshana. You have to find a place, and you have to sit there for a full year, and the whole year you have to long to take me out. Oh, we'll get to that later. Whoa! What happened? How can I take you out? No, you can't take me out. What did he do wrong? Why can't I take you out? You're right here. Let me just take you out. So the Mefarshim say that the fact that he asked the question, who asked a question like this and got punished?
What was the question?
Who asked a question like this? Who questioned Hashem, and he got punished for it, punished on their own level for it? Avraham Avinu, when he says, when Hashem says, "I'll make you into a great nation," and what does Avraham Avinu ask? Bame Eida, how will I know? Meaning he stumbled here. He says, "How am I supposed to take you out? Look, you just made it through all these guards. You're sitting through this like whole thing. Nobody stopped you. You're sitting with the prince, the queen here that everyone's making a big deal out of. You're talking to her. Just take her. Take her." He hesitated. How can I take you out? Sometimes our politeness kills us sometimes. Sometimes we have to grab things by the neck and just take it. I'm not talking about people or anything. I'm just talking about a situation in life where like, well, how do I become a Talmud Chacham? How do we become a Baal Midas? How? Just do it. You're right there. You got it. You're with her. Take her right now. Well, oh, you can't take her right now? Why can't you take her right now? You just went through all the guards and everything like that. Just take her. The fact that he had this, we'll call it Jesus, like this, what's a good English word?
Hesitation.
Because he had the hesitation. Now he's going to have to wait for the Emuna. True Emuna, there's no hesitation. Boom, 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 like in arrows. That's another story. The last story of Rabbi Nachman, we're sure not going to get to. It's like it shoots like an arrow, like the Tikkun HaKol. It shoots like an arrow. Boom, 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 boom. This is not shooting like again. Well, how do I take you out? Just take her. Sometimes in life, we. Well, how do I do tshuva? You know, things like how do I do that? Something, you're right there. What are you doing? Why are you asking that question now? Do it. Go. It's like by Kriyas Yamsov, they said, well, what are we going to do? And Hashem says, go. His Yatzvuru, it's Yeshua Hashem. Go. Go. Do it. Go. No. How do I take you out? Now comes a long, long process. Here comes a long process of after he finds her, he still has to work to take her out. Okay, and that's what we'll pick up on next time of the process of him taking her out. It's a whole long process. Okay. Shkoch.
Thank you.